There are no street, no people on the streets. You can't see now those massive demonstrations we have seen in August and the whole autumn, but only because of the huge level of repressions. You can't even imagine what's happening in Belarus. You know, people are, since August, 35,000 people have been detained, and now, even despite of the fact that there is no demonstrations, people are preventively being detained, just about 1,000 people every month, most active people. You know, everybody is under attack. Journalists are under attack, students under attack, workers, medics, just all the layers of population who somehow show their attitude to this regime, show their attitude to the violence and fraudulent elections, they are preventively detained. And people are, at the moment, more than 3,000 criminal cases have been opened, and there are 370 recognized political prisoners, and this number is growing every day. But as for protests, because you know, protest is not equal to demonstrations. Exactly. Demonstrations is just a part of protesting movement, and the level of repression is huge, but people are not giving up. They will not give up, and they at the moment have to look for like other ways how to show that we are still here, we haven't disappeared. This like underground movement now, because you know, people don't feel safe in their homes. Any moment, right, policemen can come and beat, I don't know, father of the family in front of the eyes of children, and you know, put on sack on his head and bring him to jail. So you know, the situation is awful, but people are ready to go out. People really ready for them. They demand, Svetlana, call for demonstrations. But I understand that we can show this picture to the world, but how many victims, more victims we will like gain because of these demonstrations, we can't count. It will be thousands of people in jails. So we chose the like other way of going out of the situation through negotiations. But of course, regime is cleaning up to this power. They don't want to lose this power, because no, Lukashenko is dictator, and he, it's shame for him to lose power like this. But we have to put pressure.
You've mentioned negotiations.
Yes.
As you've mentioned as well, Mr. Lukashenko is a dictator.
Yeah.
Who was going to participate in these negotiations?
It's not necessarily has to be him himself, because you know, we urge other countries that he's not legitimate. You can't talk to him, you know, he is, you can't shake hands to dictator. You told he's not legitimate, you supported Belarusian people at the beginning, and now you can't do this. But there are people in this regime, the representatives of this regime, I don't know, ministers who can talk, you know, from the side of this regime. These are people. And, you know, negotiations, it's like a final point of solving this crisis. First, we have to start with kind of dialogue, expert level on, I don't know, ministers level on different forums, just how to solve this problem, just to involve civil society, representatives of the regime, I don't know, Russia, Ukraine, and you know, other high-level people to these negotiations.
You've mentioned Russia. I was wondering, what are your fears about the future of Belarus, and especially vis-a-vis its relation with Russia? Do you see that Mr. Lukashenko may even seek for further influence of Moscow and Minsk, or even unification of Belarus with Russia?
For 26 years of this government of ruling, you know, of dictatorship, he built like close relationship with only with a couple of countries, and Russia, of course, is his, like, because of this close relationship, I don't know, Russia is supporting financially Lukashenko and these trade relationships. And you know, while Lukashenko is in power, Belarus is weak, and we understand that Lukashenko is looking for this support from Russia, and but this support cost him a lot, and we don't know what he's selling now. He's selling enterprises, he's selling I don't know, maybe he's selling our independence. We don't know this, and this is our like greatest fear, that he's selling. But we don't know, you know, all the relationship are like behind the curtains, but we always declare that don't interfere into our political issues. This is our internal problem. It's not about Russia and Belarus. It's not geopolitical. Lukashenko lost elections. This is the problem. We are going to continue. You know, we are like have very deep trade relationships. We want to continue these relationships. We have already union, and okay, wonderful. We even want to maybe like make this relationship more transparent and clear for people.
Let's take some personal questions now. Could you explain to the Greek audience about you? If you don't mind, by my comment, you're by accident the leader of the Belarus opposition movement. How have you decided to take such a risky decision to participate in the elections?
You know, my first step was only for love to my husband. He was jailed. He had this intention to participate in the election, but he was jailed, and I made it for him to support him. I was sure that they will deny me, you know, but they did, because I think that they thought, you know, she's housewife, she had never was never involved in this political, you know, atmosphere. Nobody will vote for her. But the fact that our regime lost connection with people, they have never heard us. They have, you know, they lost this understanding of the situation. You know, they really didn't expect such support. I still don't have any like political ambitions. I'm not going to participate in new elections, and that's why I was succeed in uniting all the people. They know that I'm not their opponent in the future. You know, just. You know, people believed me, and I believed people. Of course, my life changed, you know, radically, yes. And now I have to, you know, people gave me this mandate to speak as their voice, you know, to speak on behalf of people on the international arena. We are moving to our aim, new elections this fall.
You live in exile.
Yeah.
Do you feel safe?
You know, I think I feel safe thanks to Lithuanian ministry. I have security, but you know, I feel safe physically, but you know, every day I feel unsafe because of people on the ground. You can't think about yourself. Every day you are waking up with the thoughts about Belarusians in jails who are under attack all the time, and going to bed with the same thoughts.
You have been meeting a number of EU leaders. You also appealed very recently to EU Commission President Ms. Ursula von der Leyen to help. The EU does support you in words, but what about deeds? And what have they done so far, or what has the EU done so far, and what needs to be done?
So first of all, we are really grateful to European Union, to most of the countries that they recognized our elections as fraudulent, and they didn't recognize Lukashenko as legitimate president. And it was a very strong step at the beginning that gave us assurance that we have this support. Then they were vocal, especially when there are huge demonstrations. There were a couple of sanctions packages. But I think, because this is our pain, you know, this is our people are suffering, and I know that European Union countries can do much more. They can be braver, they can be stronger, they can be faster, because every day is important for those who are in jails. And they have to make, you know, that, like united decisions with the United States, with Canada, with other democratic countries, to be one united voice against dictatorship. And secondly, they have to be consistent. This is our like demand. And now comprehensive plan for Belarus is going to be published, like, because we are thinking not about, you know, present, but we are thinking about the future. And after, you know, our economy is being destroyed at the moment, and we will need the support, so we need the technical assistance in the future. Then now we are trying to organize this high-level conference on how to solve the crisis in Belarus, and we invite high-level people, presidents and ministers from different countries to show the level, the importance of this issue. And many programs have been opened from the side of European Union, like helping athletes, students, repressed people who suffered, injured people, you know, all this stuff like any, some technical assistance, but it's not very high, you know, I have to say. And we don't have to lose this momentum now. We really have to be to act now, because you know, time is extremely important in our case.
Always, especially in crisis, time of crisis. Mm-hmm. You're here in Athens at the invitation of the Foreign Minister, Mr. Dendias. What are your expectations from this visit and your participation at the Delphi Forum?
You know, main aim of my visit is to tell about Belarus, because you are not close to Belarus, and I don't think that, you know, a lot of people are involved in the situation, and we want to raise this awareness about Belarus, because people in democratic countries that got used to democracy, they can't even imagine what can happen in the center of Europe. They don't understand how people morally and physically humiliated and tortured in jails. We have to tell not only like government level, but to all the people. This is happening now, and we of course ask Greece government or Lada, I know that you call yourself a Lada, it's a beautiful word, about credentials to Lukashenko, you know, because, you know, the situation in Belarus is extremely clear, and on national level Greece can be can be supportive to our efforts. But in international level, we like call Chris to support all the European Union initiatives, like sanctions.
Last but not least, a very, very personal question. Since you've mentioned that you are not in politics to stay in politics, what are your dreams and what are your aims from now on?
I'm without people, can't do anything. And I always say, I'm doing the best I can, but people on the ground, they are doing not less. And people, you know, after new elections, I think that I can be in politics, but not on this high level. Maybe I will, you know, this topic of human rights violence became very close to me, so I can be maybe like moral authority of our country. You know, people see in me a person, not a politician. We really, you know, they believe me as a person, as a wife who supported her husband, as a woman, simple woman who is under such stress, is continuing to do what she can, what I can. And but again, everybody in Belarus is doing what he or she can. So I will be with Belarusians as long as they need me. Just to be useful to your country, it's absolutely not necessarily to be the president.